This is a CBC podcast.
Members of the L'Aqualams band will vote tonight in Vancouver on a proposal to build an LNG plant on Leilu Island in northern BC. Pacific Northwest LNG has offered to pay the band more than $1.1 billion over the next 40 years in exchange for their approval. L'Aqualams members in Port Simpson and Prince Rupert voted a resounding no last week. Joey Wesley is going to be voting at the Vancouver meeting tonight. He says he's already made up his mind. He joins me now on the line. Hello and welcome to BC Almanac.
Hi.
So how do you plan to vote tonight?
I am going against it.
And why is that?
It's the location where they propose to do all the dredging there. It's I'm all against the destruction of our lands. A lot of the people feel the same way I feel right now, too.
So in your mind, it's not just a question of money. When you hear $1 billion plus being bandied about, it's not a matter of money for you.
No, it never has been and it never will be, because you can never put a dollar sign to any of our natural resources.
How satisfied are you, Joey, with the level of engagement or consultation that Pacific Northwest LNG and Petronas have had with your band?
I'm very disappointed in their communication level.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, this is the first time they've ever met with us. Two, they're just starting to throw numbers around, like we're supposed to make up our mind in a matter of hours here. The government and Petronas made a decision to offer us $1.1 billion and they wanted us to vote by a show of hands, just in a matter of hours. So there was minimal communication between the three parties.
So what kinds of concerns do you have now or over the potential consequences this could have for the future of Port Simpson, the economic future of your area?
Life will go on. I mean, we'll still carry on with our everyday life, with our natural resources, without being harmed.
Do you think that closes the door on all future resource projects like this in your area?
For that particular area, yes, I do.
Okay, Joey. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Joey Wesley grew up in Port Simpson. He's a member of the L'Aqualams. Tonight, he will vote on the Pacific Northwest LNG's proposal, along with approximately 1,000 other band members living in Vancouver. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think the impact of this vote could be on future pipeline projects? How optimistic are you about the future of LNG in BC? And what kind of precedent do you think this vote might set when it comes to resource development? Around the province, to join the conversation, call us toll-free at 1-800-825-5950. In the Lower Mainland, the number to call is 604-669-3733, star or pound 690 on your cell phone, or tweet us at BC Almanac. Charles Menzies is a professor of social anthropology at UBC and a member of the Kitkatla First Nation. He joins me now in Studio 10 here in Vancouver. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
I'm glad you were able to come in with us today. Now, the province has signed 28 LNG revenue sharing agreements with First Nations here in BC so far, but the L'Aqualams are balking at this $1.1 billion deal. Why do you think that is? What's going on?
Well, I think, like the interview you had just a minute ago, it really isn't about the money. It's about the sense of what's happening to the community, what's happening to the environment which people are working in. That particular area where this proposed Petronas LNG plant is going to go in Prince Rupert sits on an entire island, and out in front of it, where all the boats are going to be tied up and loaded, is a major rearing bed for sockeye salmon and other salmon, pink salmon, etc., in the Skeena River.
So do you believe they are holding out for purely environmental reasons?
Well, I think the question is, who's the they? What we have is there's the community members who are attending the meetings, which are a large voice and a large group from within the community. They have clearly expressed opposition to this. the community leadership who has been elected a little while ago, they're the ones who actually negotiated the deal. And they've been very silent in the public space about what their actual support, but one would assume that they've supported it. So you don't just have one community, one group. You have a political organization that has a number of different segments and factions within it.
So we have two meetings up in the north that have already voted a resounding no.
Four, I think.
Yeah. And another one tonight in Vancouver. These are non-binding votes. Will they have an effect on the overall decision?
Well, one would think they would, but of course there's a number of different options that could occur. The council may decide that it's in the best interest of the nation to go ahead with the deal and explain it that way. I assume if they went that way, they'd have a lot of community pushback on that. They could just turn the deal down flat, or they might, which perhaps is a more reasonable solution, go back to the table and see what kind of accommodations can be worked out that really address the environmental concerns.
Okay, let's bring some of our listeners in on the discussion now. On the line from Prince George is John. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, Gloria. Yeah, just a quick note. It was very well put by Mr. Wesley, the Lac-Aux-Lambs member, that it's quite insulting how Petronas and the government have moved this forward. But also, you got to keep in mind, there's other First Nations that this will affect. And in fact, the Wet'suwet'en, the Gitxsan, and also Lake Babine Nations have taken the task, the government, the lack of consultation of this particular project. If you'll note, back in November last year, that they've put on notice the government to, hey, look, we got concerns here. You better do something about it, because the total lack of consultation is quite telling. Not only in industry, but also the provincial government, how far apart these projects are in communicating and sitting down genuinely with First Nations.
So, John, what does that say to you then when we hear that the province has signed LNG revenue sharing agreements with 28 First Nations in BC, and it could have been some of the ones you've already mentioned?
Yeah, certainly. Those are with other projects, but with this one, it seems to be kind of marketed as though the Lac-Aux-Lambs are going to say yes to it. It's a kind of full bore ahead, but by no means is that the truth, because as I mentioned earlier, this particular project has those particular First Nations concerns wrapped around it. So if there's a lack of consultation, that's quite telling. Money isn't everything. There's a lot there that needs to be addressed regarding fisheries concerns, lands concerns, and, really addressing the sustainability of these projects in a linear kind of focus that they are.
Okay, John, thank you very much. Charles?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. The difference impacts up and down the Skeena River, these different projects, the types of agreements. One of the things that's this particular discussion focuses on just the single LNG plant. There's at least five or six planned in the Prince Rupert Harbor area. And so while maybe one doesn't have a particular impact, as soon as you start multiplying, adding them up, essentially there will be no sort of outside or public space left in Prince Rupert Harbor when this is done.
Well, yeah, I don't think everybody was thinking they were all going to go ahead, though. There would be some front runners in the projects.
Yeah, if their most optimistic scenario plays out, we'll probably have two or three LNG plants in the north. The cumulative effect in terms of vessel traffic will be a jump of about 1,500 to 2,000 large, gigantic ships traveling through the coastal waterways. And one of the things that hasn't been looked at in that much detail is the cumulative effect of that large traffic and the disruption to both small boat traffic and other things.
Okay, we have an email from Hillary who writes, "So glad to hear Northern Indigenous people standing against the idiocies of corporate bullies who care only for short-term gain. Sure, there will be jobs, and then there won't be jobs, and the environment will once again be damaged, possibly beyond repair. Ridiculous." On the line now from Vancouver is Joseph. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I have 2 points to make. The first is that liquid natural gas, LNG, implies natural, when actually we're talking about liquid fracked gas. This is not a big reservoir of gas sitting in, ready to be tapped out. It has to be broken out. Toxins are put in the ground to release it. The second point I wanted to make here, if you let me, please, is that all this offshore money is affecting the democracy and the governments of BC. BC is one of the only provinces in Canada that allows campaign funding from outside of the province. Alberta doesn't allow that. And it also, BC allows campaign funding from outside of Canada. So money from Indonesia, Malaysia, Norway, etc., comes in and buys our elections. I am very proud of First Nations standing up for what they believe in to be the most important thing, looking after our planet for future generations. As a grandfather, I'm very proud of that.
Joseph, thank you very much for your call. Charles Menzies, your thoughts on that comment?
Well, I don't know what to say about the election spending aspects, but clearly in terms of the way in which BC, or the large businesses operate, they see this as an important one of the costs that they have to deal with in order to get their projects moving ahead. And they tend to prefer these agreements to be private and confidential. And in fact, many of the impact benefit agreements that these large corporations enter into have very strong confidentiality clauses, which makes it very interesting that Lac Colams has actually gone to public consultation with its membership in this fashion. Most of the other agreements have been sold. The leadership have been bound by confidentiality agreements, and there's some question about whether how many of those 28 groups that signed agreements actually consulted with their community members, given to the clauses built into these.
Charles, what kind of effect do you think it would have? You talked about confidentiality agreements, so we haven't heard any other dollar figures other than this one involving Lac Colams and $1.1 billion. Do you think there could be other bands out there looking over there and saying, hey, wait a second, if we'd waited a little bit longer, maybe just we would be getting, I mean, we don't, maybe there are billion-dollar deals right across the board. We don't know that.
We don't really know with these confidentiality agreements. It's quite possible there's bands out there saying, oh, those guys could have held out a little bit longer. Depending upon where you are, I think what's driving this is Lac Colams claims under Aboriginal title Leilu Island, and so the company feels it's obligated to pay a little bit more than they might pay to other nation whose claim they might challenge.
Okay, we were asking what impact you think the vote will have tonight on future pipeline projects. How optimistic are you about the future of LNG in BC? I will give you the numbers once again to call us toll-free around the province. The number is 1-800-825-5950. In the Lower Mainland, it's 604-669-3733. Star or pound 690 on your cell phone, or tweet us at BC Almanac. We have this email from Perry. If LNG is handled the same way as other resource extractions and giveaways in Canada, let us hope that we do not go forward with it. Look at Alberta. It's my understanding that with all the tax breaks that the corporations receive, Alberta receives less than 2% taxation on the dollar. Alberta has been broke for almost a decade. The corporations reap the benefits, and the only thing the province, country, and people receive is the pollution and environmental damage. That is from Perry. While there are many people in the Northwest who are anxious to see the LNG projects proceed to help fuel the local economy, Murray Christoph is a former councillor in Port Edward and the owner of Christoph Trucking. He's on the line with me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gloria.
So, Murray, what is your biggest concern with the Lac Colams vote underway right now?
Well, my biggest concern is that this particular band has given its members seems to be voting power over this project, whereas we've never heard of any other bands doing such a thing. It's been a long time coming for this project, as everybody knows. And now it seems to be in the hands of those type of voters, where everywhere else it's just been a band decision to approve the project.
So give us an idea just how important this project is to your community, Port Edward, the Prince Rupert area, and to your business.
Well, first, Port Edward is in the backyard of this project. Nobody is impacted more than Port Ed itself. I was a councillor when Pacific Northwest LNG was created, and we fully backed the project. The importance of the economics of this project going ahead to all the people in the area after the pulp mill has been closed for 15 years, this is finally starting to get the population going and the business community. It's a huge undertaking, and it's good for the life of Port Ed. We want to see our population grow and be healthy.
Do you have concerns about the effect on the environment and the salmon in the area?
Of course I do. I mean, I'd be crazy to say different. you know, but I think that the scientists will deal with the issue. But, you know, a lot of things impact the salmon. Not just the Flora Bank issue, but all over there's been issues of, you know, why the salmon are here one year and not the next. But how do you build a project like the container port expansion in Vancouver, Delta Port 2, you know, making an island in the mouth of the Fraser River? How do you compare that to putting a few piles out here in the Port Ed area? It doesn't make any sense.
You feel that the Northwest is getting a raw deal?
We're definitely getting a raw deal. This I'm not saying there's no impact. I can't tell how much it would be, but it's got to be a drop in the bucket compared to what Port of Metro Vancouver is starting to roll out on their plans.
So what are your thoughts about how the provincial government has handled this issue from the outset?
Well, I mean, I support the government's, you know, efforts on this, of course. But there comes a cost where it's just too much. You know, $1 billion plus a huge amount of land given to one band on one project. I don't see where that's going. What are you going to do for an encore to that? What about a phase two? What about a second project, a third project? It's just too rich, and not just for one band.
Well, there's obviously a lot riding on this project. What if it gets turned down entirely? What then?
If this project goes away because of this vote, this area of the province would just become a black hole. There's still hope for Kitimat, LNG projects there, but as the Prince Rupert Port Edward region goes, we'll never build another thing here as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we're all watching the vote closely. Murray, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome, Gloria.
That's Murray Kristoff, former councillor in Port Edward and the owner of Kristoff Trucking in Port Ed as well. Charles Menzies is my guest in studio. He's a professor of social anthropology at UBC and a member of the Kitkatla First Nation. What do you make of what Murray had to say in the future economic prospects for the region?
Well, I can appreciate his sentiment. I mean, he's well positioned to benefit from these kinds of agreements that go forward in terms of these developments. But on the other hand, I think that we have this constant attempt to undermine and deny the importance of First Nations already in terms of the rights and title. And every time a community goes to the government all constantly says, you don't really have any right to be here. And then when the First Nation does get an agreement, then you see a strong sort of non-Indigenous pushback against that, and that's a problem. On the other hand, he mentioned this that this is kind of like none of the other bands go to the communities, and he mentioned that as a bad thing that L'Aquilimes is doing. Well, I actually think it's a good thing that L'Aquilimes goes to its community, but there are other First Nations leader councils that do go to the community and bring community input in a variety of different ways. So this isn't particularly unusual. What's unusual is the fact that it's got this $1 billion price tag on it. Of course, it's in the context of a project that overall will cost somewhere around $400-500 billion to actually put into play, and is going to generate even more billions of dollars of profit for offshore ownership.
Okay, back to the lines. Now, Brian is on the line from Coombs. Good afternoon, but welcome to BC Almanac.
Thank you very much.
And what are your thoughts about the vote underway and the future of LNG in the province?
Well, the first point I'd like to make is I worked on a Northern Environmental Assessment Team in that area in the mid-70s, which was looking for a location for the development that turned out to be Ridley Island. And we studied a number of locations, and not only from an oceanographic and marine environmental point of view, but from lots of other points of view. And that work I've never heard mentioned. And the Flora Bank specifically was rejected because of fisheries importance.
Back in the 70s, you say?
Yep. Mid-70s.
Okay, so what are your thoughts about what's going on up there right now?
Well, I think if you can build an LNG plant by blasting rock for a number of years in Kitimat, although the approaches are bad, there's no reason why you can't go to a rougher piece of ground than Flora Bank. Flora Bank is just an easy place to build, and it's a fabulous fish habitat, and I think the natives are doing a wonderful job. They can look after themselves, but the fish can't. And that's really my point.
So, Brian, and I want to bring Charles Menzies into this discussion as well, since you do have some experience up there. Right now, there's also a refinery proposal that's being floated for the Port Simpson area by Eagle Spirit Energy, along with the Aquilinis here from Vancouver. So if we're talking about an oil refinery in Port Simpson, and you knowing that area well, Brian, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, everything will have an impact. Port Simpson, I think... Really, from an environmental program, if you have to pick one, is probably not at all in the same league of damage as Flora Bank. And really, neither is Rupert Harbor, because it's not an incubator area for the salmon. But, you know, there's lots of data, and Port Simpson, of course, has always been a big indigenous people settlement. So, That's a different issue. I'm only familiar with the marine component.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate that fact. So Charles, what do you make of that, that there could be other development in that area along with Eagle Spirit Energy and such?
Oh, there definitely is other projects planned. I mean, up by Prince Rupert's water supply in Schwantlands, which is where all the water for the city of Prince Rupert comes from, there's a development. The south, and about the south third of Digby Island is slated for another project where they want to basically dig that up. That's, for some locals would know that is an area where all the American troops and fortifications were, or one of the areas. Then you have just they keep building and building upon that. So there's a lot of impact. And one of the problems with this whole process is we're only looking at project by project. None of the cumulative effects are being taken into place. Now, that's really not the fault of the proponents. That's the fault of the way the government set up the legislative process and the review, which is that will ultimately be the real problem from the environmental and the social impact when you start throwing in all the thousands of people who have to build this community.
We have a tweet from John. Hopefully this will be an example for others. Money can't corrupt everyone, it seems. Judith is on the line from New Westminster. Hello, Judith.
Hello. I'm just finished a wonderful book, Peace Pipe Dreams, by Daryl Dennis, who is a First Nations Canadian living in the States. The subtitle, Truth About Lies About Indians. He says the simple truth is that North America has some serious debts they need to settle with Native people before they can consider themselves a free country or true democracy. And Native First Nations are constantly underfunded, so they're put in a pinch where they're told, okay, you can live like we made you live, or you can get rich fast with extraction of natural resources.
But it doesn't appear to be working if they're voting a resounding no to $1.1 billion. They're not being swayed by money.
Thank goodness.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Judith.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. So, Charles, how significant do you think this vote is in the overall picture when we're looking at resource development overall in BC? We just talked about a refinery proposal for Port Simpson, the refinery proposal for Kitimat, and many others around the province. Yeah.
Well, I think this is a big wake-up call. It sort of opened up the ears and eyes of the rest of the province about the implications of this. Because a lot of times these resource development projects tend to be restricted to the particular local area, and only if, say, an environmental cause comes to light does it become a bigger issue. So I think it's making people think about what the implications are, and it's realizing that there are still opportunities to engage in fuller and wider discussions on these particular type of projects.
Well, we appreciate you being part of the discussion today. Thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Charles Menzies is a professor of social anthropology at UBC and a member of the Kitkatla First Nation.